Please open your Bibles with me to John 16. John 16. This evening you were going to have the treat of listening to Bruce, but he has come down with a kidney stone. So pray that it passes soon, and Lord willing, he'll be preaching next Sunday night, and you're stuck with me this evening. This morning what I would like to do is I would like to continue our examination of the authority and authorship of God. And this morning we're going to really change focus. So think of the last 3 weeks as a foundation upon which we are now going to be building in the coming weeks. The last few weeks, we examined really how do you establish authority or authorship. Many different ideas about it in our culture, even in the church, about do you look to your feelings? Do you look to your past? Do you look inward? Do you look outward? Where do you look? And really what we concluded is this: you can only look to the speech of God. It's only through the Word, the words, and the voice of God that we can establish His authority and authorship. So the question I would like to ask this morning is, how does God speak to us today? I have never had God speak to me personally. You remember Moses? Moses went up on the mountain and God spoke to him. I've never been to the top of Mount Sinai and heard God's voice. I've never been to the Mount of Transfiguration and heard God's voice. I've never even been to Mount Zion and heard God's voice. I have not been to Mount Appalachia and heard God's voice. I have never heard God's voice personally. So, how do we hear God's voice today? What we're going to do is we are going to begin in John 16, really try to go into this text and understand how God speaks to us today. You remember last week we finished our series by concluding that Jesus is both the message and the medium of God's Word. I'm not going to re-preach the sermon. You can listen to it online. But just remember, Jesus is the true message of creation. He is the Word, the Logos of God. It is through Him that God has truly spoken. But also He is the medium of God's voice. Now God has carried not only His message and His Word in Jesus, but He has carried it through Jesus. Jesus is no longer around. He, after He was resurrected, ascended to the right hand of the Father, and now at this very moment sits at the right hand of God. Jesus is no longer here with us in body to speak to us. So how then does God, through Jesus, speak to us? Let's go to John 16. John 16. We're going to begin in verse 5. Jesus here is talking to the apostles before His death. And He has just told them, I'm about to leave you. I have to go. They don't understand this message. They're grieved and sorrowful over this. So Jesus is going to provide this message to them, explaining what happens after He leaves. John 16, verse 5. But now I am going to Him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. And when He comes, He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for He will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said to you, He will take what is mine and declare it to you. Here, for us to understand the voice of God today, yes, we must begin with Jesus, the Word once for all spoken. But we also must consider the Spirit of God. Now, before I begin the rest of this lesson, let me say, this morning is not, it is not an exhaustive overview of the work of the Spirit. This morning I am looking at just one of the many, 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 many works of the Spirit. We're going to look particularly at His work of revelation and inspiration. But please don't think this is the only work of the Spirit. Those of you who have been in the study this year know that He has done far more beyond this. But as it relates to authority, we do indeed need to consider the Spirit. Here, what Jesus says is, the Spirit is going to be the one who takes the word to the apostles and ultimately to us. If you look at verse 12, Jesus says, I still have many things to say to you. Notice again this emphasis on words, on speech, on voice. His authority and His authorship comes from His voice. But you cannot bear them now. They yet did not understand Jesus had to be crucified, that He needed to be resurrected. These spiritual realities and truths still were not in their minds and spirits, so they couldn't understand all that Jesus needed to tell them. So verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will declare to you the things that are to come. How then does God's voice carry through today? It is not through the physical voice of Christ. It is not through the vocal cords of Jesus. It is not even through the utter alphabets of Jesus that He's going to speak, but it's through the Spirit. Jesus is going to continue speaking through the Spirit. Understand it this way. God has spoken finally and ultimately through Jesus. But that voice continues to carry through the Spirit. The Spirit is the one through whom that message continues to carry. He is the one through whom that message continues to send. Going back to my analogy from last week, God has taken that message and put it in the box, but it has continued to be carried through the Spirit. The Spirit, perhaps, if you'll remember my analogy from last week, is now the Amazon of the spiritual world. Yes, He is taking the box, the contents, and everything in it, but He's now distributing it out through the entire ends of the earth, and it continues to carry. That's the work of the Spirit. Because, verse 13, He will not speak on His own authority. For whatever He hears, He will speak. Notice even in this intertrinitarian relationship, the relationships within our triune God, there is some mysterious way in which the Father and Son are speaking to the Spirit, and He then will declare these things to you. So what does this look like? How does the Spirit relate to the authority and authorship of God? Well, in every way. But to try to understand this a bit more concretely, what I would like to do is begin by examining the Spirit and the Word before the cross, and then we're going to examine His work after the cross. So let's begin by understanding the Spirit has always been active in the events of mankind. From Genesis 2, when He breathed life into man, the Spirit of God has always been at work. But how? Well, one way, again, not the only, but one way in which the Spirit has been active is through this work of revelation and inspiration. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Here in perhaps what is the most well-known verse of inspiration anywhere in Scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 14, again, for us to fully understand how God's voice operates today, we have to look to Scripture, we have to look to the past, we have to look to the Spirit. 2 Timothy 3:14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. I'm going to stop there. Verse 15, from your childhood you've been acquainted with sacred writings. What are those sacred writings? They're the Scriptures, the Old Testament Scriptures, what we would call Genesis to Malachi. These Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 16, all Scripture is breathed out by God. It is inspired by God. It is given spirit by God. And profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be equipped and complete for every good work. What has the Spirit done? What the Spirit has done is given breath to the Scriptures. 2 Peter 1:21 tells us that no prophecy came from man, but through the Holy Spirit. What God has done is He has communicated before Christ through His Spirit. It was through the work of His Spirit. Now, let's understand this practically within the history of Israel. God spoke in a special way to the nation of Israel. He gave them a special word, a special message that no other nation received. You remember at Sinai? God spoke from His voice. I take that as the Father. The Father spoke from His voice and gave a message to Moses. But God didn't do that again. You know, we are wrong if we think that God just spoke directly to individuals all throughout biblical history. It is few and far between that God directly speaks to individuals. But what did God do? God spoke on the mountain, but then His Spirit guided the writing of the Scriptures. And throughout the entirety of the history of Israel, it was the Spirit-inspired, God-breathed Scriptures that guided the nation. God spoke to every generation, not by His direct voice, but through Scripture given by the Spirit. That's what God did. After, again, Sinai, God did not to every generation speak, but He gave His Spirit, and the Spirit inspired the Scriptures, and those Scriptures were the way that God guided His people, that God directed His people, that He gave authority through His people, was through the Scriptures. But for us now, what are the purposes of those Scriptures? Go with me to Romans chapter 3. Remember, God has now spoken through His Word, through His Logos, through His Son. Remember Hebrews 1. In many ways, God spoke through His prophets. But now in these last days, He's spoken through His Son. But we have to give thought to the Spirit and to the Scriptures. Look at Romans chapter 3, verse 21. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. Let me put another word in here. Although the Scriptures bear witness to it. The layout of the Hebrew Bible was different from ours. It had three main sections. We have, I believe, five. We have the books of law. We then have the books of history. We then have books of poetry, books of major prophets, and books of minor prophets. Five different sections. The Old Testament Scriptures, they would have just called Scriptures, had three. It had the law, the prophets, and the writings or Psalms, depending on what you look at. These three different sections of Scriptures, what did they do? The law and the prophets bore witness to it. They spoke to the righteousness of God that is now through faith for all who believe. What did the Scriptures do? The Scriptures pointed toward Jesus. God has now given final authority through His Son, but what the Scriptures did was point toward Jesus. They pointed toward the Jesus that was coming. So allow me perhaps to use an illustration here. You remember that coffee mug from last week? So what God has done is He has given His final word of the message, the coffee mug, but also the contents of Jesus, okay? But imagine now that you're home and you get a package. And in that package, you open it up and you find $1 million. Woo, pretty nice, right? But realistically, as honest people, what would you do? Not go to PNC and distribute it. Probably you'd look into it and figure out, okay, where's this actually coming from? This has to be a mistake. I'm really not supposed to be the one to have gotten this. I need to figure out who this is and return the money because someone didn't just randomly leave me $1 million, right? But what if Kirby gets $1 million on his front porch? And the day before, Kirby got a call from his long-lost cousin and said, Uncle Jed, you met him once when you were four. He just died. He left you $1 million. And then you go to your front porch and you open up that package and you find $1 million. What are you going to do? Go buy you a lot of coffee mugs, right?
What the scriptures did was prepare us for the coming of that gift. Without the scriptures to prepare us and guide us, we would have received Jesus and never would have understood how has God given us the most precious of gifts. God has not given us $1 million on our porch. He has not given us a personally engraved coffee mug in a package. He has given us of His own Son. And what the scriptures did was to prepare us for the coming of Jesus. They were to guide us to be ready for Jesus so that when God finally once for all spoke through His Son, we would listen. We would heed His words, open our ears, and listen to what He has to say. Using another metaphor, you get a call and someone wants to tell you everything that you need to do to get to heaven. What are you going to do? Hang up, telemarketer. Versus Natalie gets a call. But the day before I tell her, Natalie, Dr. Hamilton from camp, he's actually going to call and tell you some really cool things about faith. Some of them are going to be a little bit difficult. You've heard Dr. Hamilton. You know he's difficult to understand at times. Very, very brilliant. But you're going to have to really think about these things. Okay? She picks up the phone call and gets it. And she hears revelation from God's word about salvation. Are you going to listen? You've been prepared for it. Now, what do you do with the information that you received the day before? Do you say, well, it's no longer useful? Do you say it's nailed to the cross and we're not going to look at it anymore? No. What you're going to do is you're going to understand it served its purpose. But now we have to take that previous message and understand it in light of that greater message. You have to go back to the scriptures to understand how God has spoken through Jesus. So, brethren, I would urge us, as we continue this study about authority and authorship, if we are truly going to be Christians who wear the name of Christ, if we are going to be disciples who follow Jesus, if we are going to be students of the Son of God, we cannot say the Old Testament scriptures have been done away with and therefore we can't look to them, but rather we must consider their role in establishing authority. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying we look back to Leviticus and Deuteronomy and Malachi and Isaiah for our patterns of worship. But I am saying for us to understand how God has spoken through Jesus, we must consider how they pointed toward Christ. And any conversation about true authority that comes back to Jesus must give due weight to the Old Testament scriptures. Now, in practice, what does this look like? I'll show you in probably 3 weeks. But at least now let's understand that in principle, not in practice, but in principle, for us to understand the authoritative voice of God that has come through Jesus, we must give due weight to the Old Testament scriptures. But now what about after the cross? That previous message has served its purpose. Jesus, Matthew 5:17, has fulfilled the scriptures. What now do we do? Now we don't look just to Genesis through Malachi, but now there's a different mechanism we have to consider. Go back with me to John 16. Look at John chapter 16 with me. Look again in verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will declare to you the things that are to come. After Jesus ascends on high, the Spirit will come and He will guide you into all truth. Now, is this a surprise for the apostles? It shouldn't be. Because what did God do after Moses? After Moses received the direct voice of God and died, it wasn't Moses that spoke. It wasn't the direct voice of God that spoke. But it was the Spirit who spoke through the Scriptures. Just as God had done before the cross, where He gave His Spirit to give voice and to give words, God is now going to leave His Spirit to give further revelation, to give words, to give His authorized voice. So, verse 14, He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. What will the Spirit do? The Spirit will take what is of Jesus and give it over to the apostles. Go to 1 Corinthians 2 with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to do a bit more detailed exegesis in 1 Corinthians 2 in a few weeks, but I do at least want to reference this verse. And by the way, while you're turning there, if you look at 1 John chapter 1, the overlay between John 1 and 1 John 1 is overwhelming. What you see in John 1 is the word came, but in 1 John 1 you see the apostles have now experienced that word. It gives you goosebumps. 1 Corinthians 2:12. But we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. He's talking about the apostles. That we might understand the things freely given to us by God. What did God do? God took His voice through Christ. The Spirit took the mind of Christ, the words of Christ, the utterances of Christ, and delivered it over to the apostles. You do not see Christ speak many times after the cross, after His resurrection, and after His ascension. But it is the Spirit. It is the Spirit who takes the Word of God. It is the Spirit who takes the words of God. It is the Spirit who takes the thoughts of God and transforms them into words and delivered them over to the apostles. So how then has God spoken today? Well, in the history of Israel, God spoke through His scriptures. But now, in the post-resurrection age, God speaks through the Spirit-inspired scriptures. What we would call Matthew through Revelation. What God has now done is He has given of His own Spirit to give us words. Words of understanding. Words of the Scriptures. Now, I do want to make one point before we move on. Be turning to Acts chapter 6 with me. I want you to go to Acts chapter 6. Actually, go with me to 1 Peter 1 first. I do want to look at this passage. It's important. Let me make a couple points before we do go on. As we look at the work of the Spirit, again, there's many works of the Spirit, but when it comes to the authority, how does the Spirit speak today? Well, God speaks today the same way that He has spoken in every age. Through His voice, through His speech, through His words. If we are going to heed the message of the Spirit, it's not by looking to some better felt than told experience. I would argue if what we think we have is better felt than told, it's probably not from the Spirit of God. Maybe from a different spirit. But what we have to do is we have to look to the utterances, the words, the oracles of God to see how the Spirit has spoken, how God has spoken through His scriptures. But now we get to this idea of what is the Word. I do want to go back to this idea of the Word. Poor Andy, after I preached, I think, 2 weeks ago about word versus words, I noticed that as he was trying to do closing announcements, he said, if you have any questions, we'd be happy to open up the Word of God with you. I mean, the words of God with you. I mean, your Bibles. What Andy did, I think, is very common. It's something that I do all the time as well. I just say, open the Word of God. Open the Bible. Open up the Word of God. Where did this come from? Where did we come to equate the Word of God with the Scriptures? I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. We just have to understand that the term Word, as used in Scripture, is not always referring to the written Word. Sometimes it's referring to other aspects of the message of God. But if you look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25, I want us to ask, what is this message that the Spirit carried to the apostles? What is this word that the Spirit spoke to the apostles? It wasn't telling them how to make the best ice cream in the world. It was not telling them how to get rich quick. It was not telling them the best plans for construction. What was the Spirit telling the apostles? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25. Quoting here from Isaiah, he says, "The word of the Lord remains forever, and this word is the good news that was preached to you." As you cross-reference this with Ephesians 1, Colossians 1, and Titus 1, all of them are the same. The Word of God spoken today by the Spirit is the gospel. It's the good news. When we look at Jesus, we see that the message that he delivered was the good news. It was the gospel, freedom from sin, the uniting of all things in him, the deliverance of every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus to us. That is what God spoke through Jesus. So now as we look at what the message the Spirit has carried, it is this message of good news. For the sake of time, we're not going to do so. You're not going to write down all of these verses, Autumn. I'm sorry. But as you go throughout the book of Acts, Acts 6, 7, and 12, 24, both of them are very clear that the Word of God continued to increase. There, the Word of God is talking about the good news of the Spirit. This is every verse I know of in Acts that uses the term word or message and means the good news of the gospel. As the Spirit worked in the lives of the apostles, what message was he giving? The message he was giving was the good news of salvation. He was offering over the good news of freedom from sin, rooted from Isaiah 52. What he was doing was offering this good news of salvation that is found in the blood of Jesus Christ and is found in his resurrected life. That is the message that the Spirit was carrying, and that is the message that he was giving to us today. At its core, the message of this book is about the giving of the word to man. The message of Christ. The message of uniting all things in him. The message of redemption, of reconciliation, of recreation, of salvation. That is what the pages of this book are about. What the Old Testament was doing was pointing toward this message that was coming. And what now the pages of the New Testament does is explain to us what all of this means in practical life. But to understand how God's voice speaks today, what we must do in practice is listen to the Spirit. The voice of Jesus no longer remains. He's in heaven at the right hand of God. The Father no longer comes down on Mount Sinai and speaks directly to us in fire and smoke. Perhaps to our advantage. But how does God speak today? How does he give his words, his utterances, his oracles, his word over today? Two observations I would make. To hear God's voice today, here's what we must do. Number one, we must listen to the Old Testament scriptures, which point toward Jesus, the Word. Let's go back to the illustration with Kirby. Kirby on a Friday gets a phone call from Cousin Susie that Uncle Jed on Saturday is left $1 million. Let me restart my story. I'm getting things out of order. On Friday, he gets a call from Cousin Susie. Uncle Jed has died. He's going to leave you a big inheritance. And then on Saturday, you open your front door and find $1 million right there. What do you do with the message from Cousin Susie? Do you say Cousin Susie was the gift? The message that she gave is what we were looking for? I was just so glad to hear from Cousin Susie? No. But did it serve its purpose? Yes. And to make sense of that package, you need Cousin Susie and what she told you. Or else, whenever you start going through this money, you're going to be like, where did this come from? I can't make sense of it. And likewise, for us to understand the Word of God, Jesus Christ himself, the message and the medium of God's voice, we must consider how the Old Testament scriptures point toward Jesus. Now, as I said, this morning is a sermon on principle. 2 or 3 weeks from now, I'm going to show you in practice what does this look like. So bear with me for a few more weeks, okay? Number two, we must listen to the words of the New Testament, which come from Jesus through the Spirit, through the apostles. Yes, God has spoken through Jesus once and for all. But how has that final word given over his words to us? It's not that Jesus is speaking to me personally before I go to bed and after I rise. But it is that his Spirit has continued to give utterance to us through the Scriptures. Do we know what we have in our hands? The very God-breathed, Spirit-inspired oracles of God, every page of which is about Jesus. And only when we understand that can we look to Jesus, the final word spoken, and really begin to understand how do we establish authority today. I want us to close by reading two passages from the letters to the Thessalonians. Begin with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. What Paul is dealing with in both 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians is some level of competition and opposition from false teachers trying to claim that his words were just special sophistry and oracles. But look what 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says. We also thank God constantly for this, that when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. Doesn't that verse give you goosebumps? Look at verse 13 in detail. The word of God they received, and they understood it is not the word of men, but the word of God, which is at work in you believers. Work out your own salvation with much fear and trembling. Philippians 2:12. Sound familiar? It is through the word, the words, and the voice of God that the Spirit delivered over his message, his utterances, his oracles. And we must not look at this book as a mere collection of dead white men, because they weren't even that. It just kills me when I hear that. I won't listen to the Bible because it's from a bunch of old dead white men. No. This is the very Spirit-inspired Word of God. Number two, go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2:15. This is our introduction to our lesson for next week. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter. A couple observations I want to make. Number one, the Spirit has indeed guided the apostles. There's no modern day apostles. They're all dead. They're long gone. And probably all but Judas are now in paradise. We don't have their spoken word, but we do have their written letter. And what we need to do is we need to stand firm in it. And what we need to do is we need to hold to the traditions that you were taught by us. So now the question for next week becomes, what do we do with this apostolic tradition? I want us to examine that really messy word and understand what does it really mean to follow in the tradition of the apostles. So what must we do? Listen to the Old Testament scriptures, which point toward Jesus, not as the final authority, not as the final word spoken, but which point toward Jesus. Listen to the New Testament scriptures, which come from the Spirit, which translated for us the mind of Christ. And let us receive these words, not as the words of men, but as the very words of God. Get out your songbooks, please. As we seek to understand how God speaks today, I don't want us to lose appreciation of the fact that God has spoken today. It's, I think, difficult for us really to understand, because none of us have ever been to Sinai and seen the smoke and the lightning. None of us have ever been to the Mount of Transfiguration and seen the Father come down. We've never witnessed the baptism of Jesus where the Spirit descended. None of us have ever heard the direct voice of God. And I at least lose appreciation for time and stop and never really understand that, yes, God has by His Spirit given us His very words. And just as Israel was a chosen nation, set apart by their knowledge of the Scriptures, we can be God's chosen people, as Ephesians 1 tells us, set apart by listening to God's Word. How blessed we are. If you need to respond to that message of salvation, that Word, that good news of Jesus, that He has defeated Satan and his powers, He has overcome every spiritual force of evil, and He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and sin, and has taken us over to light and freedom. If you need to respond to that message this very morning, come forward while we stand and sing.